And to continue with our series taking you behind prison walls, we'll go now to the California Men's Colony Prison in San Luis Obispo. Inmate Richard Gilliam is sending us dispatches to let the general public know what life is like for California's roughly 136,000 prisoners. Gilliam starts today by looking back to a time when many Americans were questioning their values.
The civil rights movement of the 60s affected every facet of American life. Its significance was also most profoundly felt in America's prisons, where black empowerment movements ushered in an era of prisoners' rights and prisoners as political activists. Seemingly overnight, prisoners such as Huey Newton, Geronimo Pratt, and George Jackson garnered national attention and notoriety. It was due to fears about prisoner empowerment and social recognition that politicians and law enforcement officials began a vilification campaign of criminals. They achieved this by positing criminals, and by extension prisoners, opposite the victims of crime. They then framed this as an either-or proposition. Either you were for victims or you were not. If the victims, who were innocent of any wrongdoing, were the good in the equation, then the criminals, and by extension prisoners, were the bad. When the discussion was framed in this manner, the criminal prisoners would lose every time. This tactic succeeded brilliantly. It enabled politicians and corrections officials to strip away the rights and privileges gained by prisoners, until today's prison inmates are treated much like herd animals, penned in fences and well lots, without much consideration given to civil and human rights, or to moral edification, rehabilitation, or social improvement. The era of tough on crime and truth in sentencing took hold with a vengeance. Those voicing support for rehabilitation and education programs for prisoners or mental health evaluations and treatment to treat the causes of crime were few. Their appeals were virtually ignored, as if they were lost and calling for change in a vast and empty wilderness. But recent incredible scientific research, as well as cold, hard economic reality, has demonstrated that longer sentences without rehabilitation is too expensive to maintain. As well as being morally reprehensible, spawning contempt, stigmatization, and dehumanizing treatment of prisoners and former prisoners. Formerly incarcerated individuals carry this stigma with them into the community after release for the rest of their lives. Draconian penal policies such as three strikes and you're out, along with no statute of limitations on the use of prior enhancements, and employment laws which allow an employer to ask if an applicant has ever been convicted of any felony, ensure that no matter how successful an individual is after release, or how beneficial he may be to the community, he or she will always carry the black mark of past mistakes. This is tantamount to the archaic T burned into the flesh of a thief, identifying him forever as an outcast and malefactor. It is time to allow formerly incarcerated individuals the chance to attain true redemption and forgiveness. Reforming prior enhancement and employment laws by placing a statute of limitation on their applicability will have multiple beneficial effects. It will create an incentive to avoid future illegality by restoring a full measure of citizenship to those that wish to earn it. And it will save the taxpayers millions of dollars in lost production costs by allowing more former prisoners to obtain employment. It will also save money by reining in lengthy sentences for relatively minor crimes committed by past offenders. To borrow a metaphor from a well-respected social observer, quote, a former offender trying to make it after release is like trying to stand up in a crooked room, end quote. We need to square that room in order to give someone worthy the chance to stand on his own two feet.